All right, we'll say good morning. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Gimel 103. We are picking up on Kuf Beis and Beis 102b, and we are picking up 8 lines up from the bottom. Parak Rav Achai. So let's remember again, the Gemara was trying to illustrate the halachos that we saw in the Mishnah through an interesting exchange between the Tevulya, between two Kohanim, right? Two fictional Kohanim. One being the Tevul Yom, the individual just went to the mikvah, the other being the Kohen Tahor, and the Tevul Yom trying to somehow get some type of portion for himself. So Baruch Rav Achai, Rav Achai raised the following kasha. Lema le, why doesn't the Tevul Yom say to the Kohen, to the Tahor Kohen, Tenli mi bechor va'ochal, give me some of the bechor, and I'll eat it. Mishum do'amar le, because he could say, Uma b'makom shora kohi bechatos, Eitzel nashay v'avadai dechisicha mechatos yisro. So we'll say, in a case of a chatos, where the Kohen says, even I, the Tahor Kohen, have less of a claim, in that I can't feed it to my wife or to my servants, I have the ability, dechisicha mechatos yisro. You, Tevul Yom, can't eat that chatos. Makom sheyafa kohi bebechor dechula dilei, he ain't of din she'edacha chamimenu. Then all the more so, says the Tahor Kohen, in the case of bechor, where, again, I do have rights in that bechor, it is all mine. All the more so, I have the right to preclude you from gaining your portion. But then the Tevul Yom could respond, well, say, when it comes to chatos, where again, your rights are compromised already, where you can't give it to your wife or to your servant. So I understand why I'm also compromising. You could cut me out of that. However, when it comes to Bechor, the same way you, Kohen, have rights, so too I should have rights. Therefore, the Pasuk says, as damam tizrok ala mizbeach, the eschalbam takdir ubisaram yihye lecha. So therefore, again, what does the Pasuk say? You shall throw the blood of the mizbeach, offer up the fats, and the meat will be yours. So what does the Tahor Kohen say to the Tevul Yom? Ba zrok va'achol. If you want a carbonic portion, no problem. Come do zrika and come and eat. So we'll say it's the same theme and same exchange every time. With the Tahor Kohen says to the Tevul Yom, no problem. If you want, you could have whatever you want. Just come and do the avoda. The inability to do the avoda obviously precludes him from taking a carbonic portion. V'idach parech miksev ubisarim lakohen azorek. And the other opinion will say, the Tevul Yom will say, does the Pasuk say, and the meat will go to the kohen who does rika? Ubisram yeloch, all the Pasuk says is the meat will be to you. Afilu lakohen acher, even to another kohen, i.e. even to someone else who can't do the zrika. That's what the Tevul Yom will claim. So we'll say, so bottom line is the statement of the Mishnah still holds true, which is that halach halamayse, the only time you are entitled to a piece, to sacrificial meat, is when halach halamayse, you had the license to do the avoda. But if you don't have license to do the avoda, you don't get meat. So we'll say, now the Gemara loops back to the beginning of the story. Vehechi avit hachi. We'll say, if you remember again, This whole thing got started by Rava saying, I learned this halacha from Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Da'amar Bebeis Hakise. He said this halacha while in the bathroom. So the Gemara now asks, one second, V'hechi Avirachi, how was Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon able to learn Torah in the bathroom? After all, we learned that what Rabbi say, that a person is permitted to think, and in fact encouraged to think, thoughts of Torah in every place except for the bathroom. So how was Rabbi Elazar able to go ahead and think about this halacha in the bathroom? To which the Gemara says, "Lo onso shiny." It was an ones. But say ones means an extenuating circumstance. In other words, he could not help himself. The thought just came to him. Was right? Halavai to be on that level. So first of all, it's just an important halacha. Shulchan Aruch writes, this is in Arachaim, Simen Pehe Sev Beis, Afilu Laharher B'divrei Torah Aser B'Beis HaKeisei U'B'Beis HaMerchatz U'B'Makom HaTinofes. You are not permitted to think about words of Torah in a bathroom or in a bathhouse or in any place where either, again, people are unclothed or there's dirtiness associated with it. When I said dirtiness is the wrong word. In other words, like a bathroom, like there's unclean things that are there. Filth that are there, right? Not filth like in a moral sense, you understand? Like filth like in a physical sense. So we'll say, so just say an amazing halacha. So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so I'm not supposed to think Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, v'yachshov sham cheshbonos beso v'hotza osof. So what should you do in the bathroom? So first of all, he doesn't encourage reading the paper, right? Why not? There's a very good reason why not to read the paper, which is, right? Because you stay in there longer. The goal is getting it out, right? The goal is not to linger, because there's a lot to accomplish in life, right? So don't spend your life reading paper in the bathroom. So what should you do? This is interesting. He says, "V'yachshav sham cheshbonos be'savot sosam." Think about your household budget, right? He says, "Go, I mean, crunch your numbers." Shelo yavo lidei hirur. So I say, the idea is, here's what's amazing. The idea is, I can't think Torah in the bathroom, but yet a person can never be idle. Person can never be idle. So the idea is, but yet, you don't want to spend prolonged periods of time in the bathroom because there are things I have to accomplish in life. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests reviewing your household budget while you're in the bathroom. I guess that's something that a person could do relatively quickly. Therefore, maximize the time without spending too much time there. Don't remain idle, but at the same time, again, don't lose incredible volumes of time doing things in the bathroom. Good. Says the Mishnah. Both say, Kuf Gimel, Amad Aleph. Here we go. Koshelo Zacha Mizbeach B'Psara, Lo Zacha Kohanim Ba'Ora. It will say, as long as, if the Mizbeach doesn't get its meat, then the Kohanim don't get the hide. And I was supposed to say, now we're switching gears a little bit to the fact that part of the way the Kohanim earn their parnasa is through getting the hides of a karban. So when are the Kohanim entitled to a hide? Only when the Mizbeach gets its meat. So if the meat is offered up on the Mizbeach, then the Kohen could get the hide. Shene emar, olas ish, ola sha'osal ish. What says the Gemara Darshan's over here? The Pasuk says, olas ish. An ola beginning, because it says, v'akoin ha-makrives olas ish, or ha-ola sher-hikriv la-koin lo yeh. So the Pasuk that says that the Kohen gets the R, that the Kohen gets the hide of an ola, refers to it as olas ish. Olas ish means an ola which goes ahead and counts for another person, is the type of ola for which the Kohen gets the hide. Oh, we'll define what that means in just a moment. Ola shenishchata shelo lishma. But what happens if an ola was shechted shelo lishma? Afa pishlo also labaylim or the Kohanim. Even though, again, that ola does not count for the particular owner who offered it up, because it's shalom lishma, but I will say it is not an invalid carbon. So because it's not an invalid carbon, then what? Then ultimately, again, the coin will get the hide. So I will say, now you begin to see a little bit of a development of this idea, that essentially, in order for the coin to get the hide, the ola has to be a valid offering. Even if it's not valid for the particular owner, in other words, even if for some reason it doesn't discharge the owner's obligation, as long as it's a valid ola, valid offering, then what? Then the coin will get the hide. So the Gemara goes weiter. Echad ola sa'ish ve'echad ola sa'isha, whether again it's an ola of a man, an ola of a woman, orosin lakarnim, the coin will get the hide. Oros, kachim, kalim, lebailim. Similarly, again, the oros, the hides of kachim, kalim, go to the owners, not to the kohanim, I will say. Oros, kachim, kadashim, lekohanim. The oros of kachim, kadashim, go to the kohanim. Kavachomer. And the Gemara is kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? What the Mishnah says. Uma im ola shelo zacha bibsara zacha ba'ora. So when it comes to ola, where the kohanim don't get the meat, yet they go ahead and they get the hide. So kachim, kadashim, shezacha bibsara. Ain't no din she yisku ba'ora. So we'll say, kachi kadashim or kohanim do get the meat. They certainly should get the hide. To which the Gemara says, in mizbeach yochiach, that is not true. You could prove that this is incorrect from the mizbeach. How so? She'ein lo ar b'chol makom. Because we'll say there are many times where the mizbeach gets the meat, so to speak. The meat is burned on top of the mizbeach. Yet, we'll say there is never a case in which what? In which the mizbeach gets the hide. We never burn a hide on the Mizbeach. So you see that Kavachomer is a bit flawed. Fine. In any event, well, so let's analyze the principles. Remember again, the first principle that the Mishnah espoused was this idea that if the Mizbeach gets its meat, then the Kohen gets his hide, which is another way of saying that as long as the carbon is effective, we see effective means that it's a valid carbon. Even if for some reason it doesn't end up counting towards the obligation of the person who's bringing it, as long as it is an effective carbon, so then the Kohen is entitled to the hide. Where do we get this from? from the phrase Olas Ish. So we'll say Gemara, beginning of the Gemara Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Tanur Rabbanan, Olas Ish. When the Gemara says Olas Ish, Prat La Olas Hekdish Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says this comes to exclude the Ola of Hekdish. We'll define what that means in just a moment. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Prat La Olas Gerim. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says this comes to exclude what? The Ola of Gerim. The Rebbe will say, in these cases, the coin does not get the hide. So let's analyze this. My Prat La Olas Hekdish. Rebbe will say, what does it mean when we say that Olas Ish comes to exclude Olas Hekdish? Amreb Chia Bar Yosef Prat the Ola Haba Min Hamosoros. Rebbe will say, what it means is as follows. It comes to exclude the case of what we call an Ola that comes from the extras. The Rebbe will say, now Bipashtos, what this is referring to as follows. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Min Hamosoros. So listen to this. This refers to additional kabbanos. Now, additional kabbanos can be brought in a variety of different ways. Either, let's say, for example, you have Rabbi say from the half shekel, the leftover half shekel. So what did you do with that leftover money? You brought what's called Keitz Mizbeach. You would offer up Olos on the Mizbeach so that the Mizbeach itself was never dormant. Or, let's say cases Rabbi say where I set aside a carbon for a Chatos. I lost the carbon. I set aside another. I offer it up, and then I find the first. What do you do with that? You let it graze, you use the money, you purchase an ola. So we'll say, so Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says, those karbanos, those olos, what we call the additional olos, Rabbi Yosef, the Kohen does not get the hide from those types of karbanos. So that makes its current opinion that says that Rabbi Yosef, what we call the mosaros. Now, mosar literally means extra. Those are called extra karbanos, either because, again, they're brought from the extra monies of the machzis ha-shekel, or ultimately, again, because they're brought as a result of, quote-unquote, extra karbanos. In other words, again, remember, if you just focus on the simple case of where I set aside a chatas, went ahead and lost the animal, set aside another one, offer up the second one, and then find the first. So again, I let it graze, develop a mum, redeem it, use the money to purchase an ola. So the Kohen does not get though that hide. So that makes sense according to the opinion who says, Mosaros and the Devil Sibar, that ultimately, again, these extra karbanos go for communal gift offerings. Eleman Dharma Mosaros and the Devil Yachid Azli, Michael and Amar. But according to the opinion who says that, no, it's true, it goes, the extra carbon, the extra animal goes as a carbon ola, but it goes as a personal ola. If that's the case, then what? Then why shouldn't the Kohen get the hide? Kida Amar Rava, as Rava says, Ha'ola, Ola Rishona. Hachanami, Ha'ola, Ola Rishona. So we'll say, so Rava darshins, that when the Pasuk says, Or Ha'ola, that the coin is entitled to Or Ha'ola, what it refers to is what? The first Ola. In other words, we'll say, so in cases of either leftover animals, the coin is not going to get the hide, because the entitlement of the hide only comes from, quote unquote, the first carbon. Rabbi Aivu Amar Abianai, Prat lematvis ola lebedek habayis. So we'll say he comes and explains that no, in fact, Rabbi Huda's statement of prat li ola's hekdish comes to exclude someone who goes ahead and pledges his carbon ola to bedek habayis. So we'll say, remember again, bedek habayis refers to temple upkeep, refers to financial sanctity. So we'll say, so you could have a person who's going to bring a carbon ola, but he sanctifies the carbon to bedek habayis. Now watch this. So this goes without saying, according to the opinion who says that you could sanctify an animal for Bedek Habayis and that Kiddusha takes hold Midoraisa, so then the coin won't get the hide. But even according to Mandamar, it says, we'll say that Bedek Habayis Kiddusha doesn't take effect on a carbon. Nevertheless, Hanimili Basar, that's only true on the meat, on the flesh. Aval or toughest, but certainly on the higher both side, it'll take effect. So I'll say, what this essentially is saying is as follows, that if somebody goes ahead and takes his carbon and pledges his carbon for bedek habayis, so I'll say the meat will still be offered up on the mizbeach. Where does the bedek habayis sanctity take effect on? The hide. Suddenly, what does that mean? That he's pledging the hide ultimately again to the Beis HaMikdash. In a case like that, so the hide will not go to the Kohen. Instead, the hide ultimately again will go to Bedek HaBayis. But I'll say first wide line, Kuf Gimel Amad Aleph. V'chin Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua, Pratli Ola Haba Min Hamar Sara. So what's the Gemara is coming to back up that which we just said before. When Rabbi Yehuda said, Pratli Ola Hektish, what is that coming to exclude? Most Saros. Any of the quote-unquote additional Olos that are brought, ultimately, again, that hide does not go to the Kohanim. That hide ultimately goes to the Beis HaMikdash. I wonder if Hamnun Rav Nachman Kiman, Rabbi Yehuda, whose opinion does this reflect? It's Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Hadrebe. We'll say it would appear that Rabbi Yehuda actually reneged on this particular opinion. Why? What did we learn? Tisanya, Shisha Linadava. So we'll say ultimately again. So if you look at Rashi over here, it's in the fourth wide line of Rashi says, Shisha Linadava, Beyud Gimel Shofro Shaiba Mikdash Kamairi, Tichsiv Alein Tiklin Charitin. V'tiklin atikin, kinin v'goz le'ola, itzimu levona v'zav lechapores, v'shisha l'nedava, u'mefarshim ha'nei shisha l'nedava. So let's listen to this. Remember, back to our Shkalim days, there are multiple collection boxes inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara quotes the writer that says, shisha l'nedava. Six of them were labeled as nedava, as gift offerings. Shisha l'nedava, li'ola haba min hamosaros. And Abba said, what was that money used for? That was ultimately used for money to purchase olos min hamosaros, from the leftover monies. Shelo yu kohanim zakoin ba'ora de Rabbi Yehuda. Both say, and this ola haba min hamosaros. Remember again, we just said this before. Ola haba min hamosaros means this extra ola can be brought in a variety of different ways. Either it's a lost carbon that is subsequently found, or in this case, it's leftover half shkalim that were used to bring communal offerings in order that the Mizbeach should never be dormant. Either way, Rabbi say what it means is what? Or what it means for us is, the Kohen does not get the hide in these circumstances. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Amru Rabbi Nechemya, Ramu Rabbi Shimon, Im kein bitalta midrasha shal Yehoyada Kohen. Well, if that's the case, that the Kohen is not going to get the hide from the Mosaros, you have negated the drasha of Yehoyada. What did Yehoyada say? Disanya, ze midrash darash Yehoyada Kohen. This is the medrash, this is the drasha of Yehoyada Kohen. What did he say? Ashamhu, so we'll say the Pasuk says, Ashamhu, Ashom Ashem Lashem. So we'll say, Ashamhu, Ashom Ashem Lashem. This is just the Pasuk. It is an Asham because of his wrongdoing against God. Now we'll say, now there's a lot of Ashams in this Pasuk. Kol sheba mishum chatos mishum asham yilakach ba'olos. So we'll say anything ultimately again that comes as a result of a chatos. So it comes because chatos and asham, right? Yilakach ba'olos. So we'll say what this means is any carbon that was originally supposed to be brought as a chatos and an asham, but then something happened, and as a result, you have an extra animal. The Rebbe say now, however you have an extra animal, you lost the first chatos and asham, separated a second replacement animal, offered it up, and then what? And then what? And then found the first. So what we'll say, so now what do you do with that first animal? You let it graze, develop a mum, redeem it for money, use the money to purchase olos. Habasra l'shem, and Rabbi say you offer up that carbon, and what happens? That meat goes on the Mizbeach, ora l'kohanim. And the hide goes to the Kohanim. So we'll say, so now what do you see in this case? So what do Yehoyada pass? And we'll say, so it sounds like, not sounds like, but Yehoyada is saying what? That in the case of Mosaros, the hides belong to the Kohanim. And we'll say, now see, that seems to contradict. Now, so remember, Rabbi Yehuda just got finished saying that what? That Prat Lahekdish, he says, Olas each is Prat Lahekdish. And what does that come to exclude? The Mosaros. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, you're contradicting a drasha of the Kohen Gadol of Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol. Amalei, Elamar b'mayim mokim lo. So ultimately, again, so he says, well, if that's the case, so then how do you darshan Rabbi Yehuda's statement of Olas, Hekdish? They both say, so here's what we're saying. Just to recap a little bit over here. The Pasuk Olas Ish tells us that the Kohanim are entitled to the hide when it's Olas Ish. Somehow, if it's not Olas Ish, the Kohanim are not entitled to the hide. We're trying to figure out what. So what is that coming to exclude? Rabbi Yehuda said it's coming to exclude Olas Hekdish. We thought Olas Hekdish means what? Mosaros. Now we're seeing that based on the drasha of Yehoyada Kohen, the Kohen is in fact entitled to the hide even from Mosaros. If that's the case, then what did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he said, Prat la olas hagdish, to which the Gemara says, Amarle, Mukmina le b'makdish nechasev ukrabi Yoshua. I think it's coming to talk about the case of a person who consecrates his estate. He sanctifies his property like Rabbi Yoshua. We'll say, what does this mean? Here we go. It's actually an interesting case. This nan. Hamakdish nechasev, vahayubahen behemos haru'uyos legabi mizbeach. We'll say, if let's say a person sanctified, he consecrated, he was makdish his property. And a part of his estate, there were animals which were fit for karbanos. So what do you do with the animals? Zicharim and nekevos. So we'll say, there's male animals, female animals. What do you do with it? Rabbi Lazar Omer, Zicharim yimachru l'tzarchei olos. So we'll say, you sell off the male animals, and you use the proceeds to purchase olos. Nekevos yimachru l'tzarchei zivchei shlamim. Ultimately, again, female animals, you sell off. We'll say, what do you do with them? You purchase with them money for, you purchase with them animals for shlamim. Udimeyen yiplu imshar nechasin lebedek habayis. And I will say, any additional monies ultimately fall to the rest of his estate, ultimately for what? For bedek habayis. So we'll say, so in this case over here, if you notice, you take the animals, sell them off, use the proceeds for the gender-specific type of carbon. Rabbi Yishur Mishua says, I don't even think you need to do that. Scharim atzmam yikrivu olos. Unikevos imakru letzarchei shlamim. We'll say take the male animals themselves and actually offer them up for the purpose of olos. The female animals ultimately again sell them and use them for shlamim. V'yavi bidneim olos. I'm sorry, ushar nechasim, and use the monies ultimately again to bring more olos, ushar nechasim, and the rest of the estate yipol libedek habayis. Ultimately, again, false about the advice. I will say, what do you see from here? But ultimately, again, the oros, the hides, do not go to the Kohanim. That's the idea, I will say. So, of course, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that this is a different interpretation as to what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says, Prat la olas hekdish. Prat la olas hekdish means in a situation where a guy is makdish his nechasim. He consecrates his entire estate. So to make a very long story short, what do we do? Whether you're actively going ahead and selling off the animals using the money to purchase karbanos, or actually using his animals as karbanos, I will say, in these cases they're being brought as olos. In these cases, the kohanim will not receive a portion in the hides. And I will say, if you go to Rabbi Yeshua, says that sometimes a person could divide within his hekdesh. Now, what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, four lines up from the bottom. That a person, I will say, when he's makdish his estate, can make an inherent distinction in that estate. Namely, that what? That the stuff that's fit for the mizbeach goes to the mizbeach, and the stuff that's fit for bedek, and the stuff that's not fit for the mizbeach, Rabbi Yosef goes where? Yeah. To bedek habayis. Even Rabbi Yeshua says that hani midi basar. That's only true with the meat. Aval or toughest. Rabbi Yosef ultimately, yeah, when it comes to the hide, so the kedusha takes hold, and the kohanim will not get a portion. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer. So it seems to be, so now we're going to stop over here for just a moment, and what we have over here is the first exclusion. So let's go through what we know from the Mishnah. What I know from the Mishnah is a principle, that wherever the Mizbeach gets its meat, right, wherever the Mizbeach gets its meat, i.e., it's a valid carbon, the Kohen gets the hide. What is that based on? Shene'emar olas ish. Ola sha'olsa le'ish. So any ola that works for a person, ultimately, again, the Kohen gets his hide. Now, we've already seen, works for a person doesn't mean that's the discharge's obligation. Works for a person just means what? It's a kasher karban. So now we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda says, what does that come to exclude? An olas hekdish. So essentially, we have two different interpretations as to what that means. Either mosaros, the hide of mosaros karbanos, or second possibility is the hide of a person, not the hide of a person, sorry, the hide from a situation of where a person was makdish his property. So I must say, in that kind of case, it could be also that the coin will not get the hide in those circumstances as well. Fine. Now we're switching gears for just a moment. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Prat la Olas Geirim. But if you remember again, the second opinion as to what's excluded from Olas Ish was a statement to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says this comes to exclude the Ola of a convert. So what does that mean? Omer, Rabbi Simai, Bachel, Kail, Ravina, Atu, Ger, Lat, Yishu. I understand the convert's not a person. In other words, why would a convert's carbon be excluded ultimately again? Or why would a kohen not receive the entitlement of the hide from an ola of a ger? To which the Gemara says, Amrlei prat leger shemes ve'in lo yarshim. I will say what it's coming to exclude is the case of a ger who dies and has no inheritors. So I will say ultimately again what that means is as follows. Let's say a ger set aside a carbon. He set aside an ola. And then what happens? He dies before offering it up. So we'll say, so in that case, remember again, the only case of a person who could die without family is a ger. That is the only case you could have a Jew who dies without relatives. Why Rabbi said? Because again, remember, halacha l'maaseh, when a person converts on a technical level, they have no halachic relationship with, ultimately again, former family. So therefore again, obviously, if the ger marries, has a family, has mishpacha. But if Chas Shalom, let's say he's alone, and he never marries nothing, and he dies, technically speaking, he could have absolutely no Yarshim. There is no one to inherit him. So we'll say, so let's say such a person, before he died, set aside an animal as an Ola, never offered it up, died. So we'll say, so now the Gemara suggests that carbon ultimately, again, when offered up, the Kohen will not be entitled to the hide. Why not? Because the only time a Kohen is entitled to hide, I will say, is when what? There's Olas Ish. Olas Mish means there's an owner of the carbon. In this case, what do you have? You have an ownerless carbon. Why do you have an ownerless carbon? Because the ger is dead, right? The ger is dead. He can't be called the owner of the carbon. And we can only be called the owner if you're alive. And there are no yarshim. So because you have, yes, you have a technical issue over here. You have an ownerless carbon, which will still be offered up. But at the end of the day, because it is ownerless, the Kohen does not get the hide. Tanu Rabbanan, Olas Ish Inli Ela Olas Ish. So we'll say now the Gemara is going to further darshan. This pasuk is Olas Ish. I don't know, Ola that belongs to a man. Olas Gerim, Nashim Va'avadim Inayin. I don't know about the Ola that belongs to a ger. Ola that belongs to women or to servants. From where do I know that ultimately the Kohen is entitled to the hide? Tamalomar or Ha'ola. Therefore, the pasuk says the hide of the Ola. Riba. This comes to include all cases. Imkein matam ulomar olas ish. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say olas ish? Ola sha'osal ish. It comes to include a case of an ola rabosai which satisfies someone's obligation. Prat l'nishchata chutz lizmana v'chutz l'mkoma shelo yu kohanim zakan ba'ora. Comes to exclude what Rabosai, an ola that was shechted outside of its proper time or outside of its proper place, which is a totally invalid carbon. In a case like this, the coin will not get part of the hide. Yachol shani marbesh nishchata shelo lishma. So I might have thought that Rabosai maybe, and that therefore using this logic, if the ola was shechted shelo lishma, the coin also shouldn't get the hide. After all, hoy ovlo also lebailim. Since what? Since such a carbon does not discharge the obligation of the owners, kuf gimel beis rosai lo yu kohanim zakan bara. Maybe the coin should not get the hide. Tamad lomar or haola mikom makom. Therefore, the pasuk says what? Therefore, the pasuk says or haola, which comes to include all cases. Now, both say now what we just saw over here is an incredibly important principle. The coin will get. So far we have two criteria. The coin, in order for the coin to get the hide, really three criteria. Number one, really two criteria, which are possibly three, but really could be condensed into one, which is that the carbon has to be a valid carbon. That's pretty much the criteria. The carbon has to be a valid carbon. Now, what does that mean? What that means is there has to be a defined owner. Now, interestingly enough, that's true even if the carbon does not work to discharge the obligation of that particular carbon, as long as the carbon was kosher and it started out with an owner, even if it does not actually satisfy the owner's obligation. We'll say, what's a good example of this? So that's an example, ultimately, again, of shalol lishma. Let's say the carbon was offered up, shalol lishma. Shalol lishma. So we'll say, Is the carbon kosher? Yes. Does it satisfy the owner's obligation? So a little bit of a trick question. Remember, this is going back to Zvachim. It depends. Some carbonos have offered up lishma do satisfy the owner's obligation, some don't. But even for argument's sake, if it's a type of carbon which doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation, it's okay. It's okay in that it's still a valid carbon. And since it's still a valid carbon, the kohen gets the hide. It's only in cases where the carbon is not, quote-unquote, valid and can't trace itself back to a defined owner. In those cases, the kohen will not go ahead and get the hide. Here we go. Or ha'ola in Rabbi Sekuf Kimon Bay second line. Or ha'ola in, excuse me, or ha'ola. So the pasuk says, or ha'ola, he gets the height of an ola. Amy ella or ha'ola. Oros kachik adashim. So let's say, I only know an ola. What about kachik adashim? And I know that a coin gets out of kachik adashim as well. Tamud lomar, or ha'ola sher hikriv. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, the or of the ola which has been offered. So we'll say, you see from here that what? It's any carbon that has been offered, the coin gets the height. Yachal shanimar ba'av kachik alim. I would have thought maybe it comes to include the hide of Kachim Kalim. So now we know who gets the hide of Kachim Kalim. The owner, right? The Yisrael gets out of the Kachim Kalim. But I might have thought that maybe this comes to include that the coin should get the hide of the Kachim Kalim as well. Tamad lomar Ola, Ma Ola Kachik Adashim, Afkol Kachik Adashim. Just like the Ola Kachik Adashim, so too again, the coin only gets the hide of Kachik Adashim. Rabbi Yishmal Omer, Or Ha Ola, Eini Ela Ha Ola. Oros kachik adashim inayim. So again, the pasuk only tells about ora ola. But just to be clear, the concept of hide entitlement is stated explicitly in the pasuk of ola, and that's the only place it's stated. We're learning everything else out from there. But the problem we're faced with is the pasuk does seem to be pretty explicit in that this applies to the ora ola. Oros kachik adashim inayim. I don't know that it applies to other kachik adashim as well. Vedinu. So I don't know that it applies to Kachik Adashim. So Moses says, Kavachomer, Vidinu, Uma Ola, Shalom Zachu, Bivsab, Zachu, Ba'ora. But see, when it comes to Ola, where the Kohen has no meat entitlement, yet he gets the hide, Kachik Adashim, Shazachu, Bivsaran, Eno Din Shazachu, Ba'oran. But see, all the more so, Kachik Adashim, where there is a meat entitlement, all the more so, in that kind of case, he should get the hide. As I was about to say, we're assuming that if you get the hide, in a situation where you don't get the meat, then what? You certainly should get the hide in a case where you do get the meat. So the Gemara says, oh, hold on. So the Gemara says, Mizbeach Yochiach. No, that's not necessarily a good argument. I'll tell you why. The Mizbeach Yochiach proves that that's not true. Why? Shezach HaBivsara, because the quote unquote, you know, the Mizbeach has a meat entitlement all of the time. Yet what? V'lo Zach HaBara. Yet, Rabbi Osei, there is never a case where the Mizbeach is, quote-unquote, entitled to the hide. In other words, we'll say, you never burn a hide on the Mizbeach. Now, there are times where an animal is burnt with its hide, as we're going to see in just a moment, but that burning usually takes place outside of the Beis HaMikdash, like Par Aduma, Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, Par Shel Kohen Mashiach, where the animal is burnt whole, but hide is never burnt on the Mizbeach. So you see, again, there's not necessarily a correlation between meat entitlement and hide entitlement, to which the Gemara says, So here's the difference. Bless you. The Mizbeach, Rabbi Osei, has absolutely no hide entitlement. In other words, as you just said before, there's never a case where the hide is burnt on the Mizbeach, yet Tomar Bekohanim Shezachu B'Miktas. Yet, Rabbi Osei, we know that there are cases where Kohanim do get the hide. Rabbi Osei, if there's one case where everyone agrees that the Kohen gets the hide, it's where? Ola, right? For a simple reason. Why? Because it's stated there. So again, I already see that Kohanim do have a hide entitlement. Therefore, I would say, Kevan, they should get all the hides of Kachik Adashim as well. Rabbi Meir says, we'll say, ultimately, again, this entire pasuk is really only necessary to teach me about the height of the ola. Because we'll say, in general, the hide, the status of the hide, follows after the meat. For example, Paraman Asrafim, Sirin Asrafim. So we'll say, again, remember, in the case of the Paraman Asrafim, or the Sirin Asrafim, so we'll say, these are the various types of dramatic sin offering, communal sin offering, high-profile sin offering, like the Melech or the Kohen Gadol. In these cases, so the halacha is, Hein va'orosehen nisrafin imayin. We'll say, in these cases, so the animal and its hide are burned together with it. Chatas va'asha v'zivchei shlamim, v'zivchei shlamim tzibor. So we'll say, in the case of chatas, asham, zivchei shlamim tzibor, Matana le Kohen. Ratzu, we'll say these hides are given to the Kohen. Ratzu mafshitin also. Lo ratzu. Ochlin osan agabe oran. If the Kohen wants to skin the animal first and take the hide separately, he can do that. The other pastor will say is that what? They could eat the flesh off the hide. In other words, Kohanim could choose to leave the hide on and eat the meat from the hide, from the skin, or they could choose to go ahead and remove the hide from the animal. So the Gemara says, Lo Rasu Oklan Osana Gabi Oron, Kachim Kalim Labailim. So again, we'll say Kachim Kalim. So ultimately again the meat and the hide goes to the owner. Ratsu Mafshitin also. If the owners want, they could skin the animal, take the hide off. Ratsu Oklan Osana Gabi Oran, or they could just simply eat the meat right off the hide. Aval Ola Ne'emar Ba Vehiv Shit Esa Ola Venisach Osalin Sakha. Yet I will say, interesting enough, by Ola, the Pasuk says that what? It shall be flayed. In other words, the Pasuk also explicitly says that the Ola is supposed to be skinned. V'nisach osal and sacha. You will cut it up into its parts. Yacholo yuakohanim zakhan ba'ora. I might have thought that the Kohanim are not entitled, ultimately again, to the hide. Talmud lomar or ha'ola sher hikriv. So I say, therefore, the Pasuk says, the or of the Ola, the hide of the Ola which was offered, lo yihiyah. Ultimately, again, it will belong to him. So I share here, Griff. So we'll say ultimately again that he will. So really, it's a comma there. Tamalomar or ha'ola share here, Griff. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says that he gets the hide of the ola that he offered. Fine. So we'll say lo yihia. So we'll say, so what do I do with the pasuk, or what do I do with the phrase lo yihia? It shall be his. Prat l'tvul yom o mechusra kipurim va'onein. But this comes to exclude the case of a tul yom, which is a coin who went to the mikvah, but ultimately, again, requires Harif Shemesh. Mechusra kipurim requires some additional atonement karbanos. Va'onein. But say onein is, as we spoke about before, a person who endures loss before burial. Shalachalo yisku ba'basar, shehu la'achilo yisku ba'ar she'enu la'achilo. Amarath Rabbah said that these individuals, although they do not get their consumption portions of karbanos, they should get what? They should get a portion in the hide. Talmud Lomar lo yihiyah. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says it shall be for him. Prat l'mechusra kipurim utvul yom va'onin. Rabbah says it's actually a very important halacha. We know this. That halacha l'maisa, Rabbah says, you only get hide if what? If what? If halacha l'maisa, you have a portion of consumption. If you don't have a consumption portion, then ultimately, again, you don't get a hide portion. Ay, v'tanakam anami sefok le'medina. So we'll say, so why doesn't the Talmud Kanakama learn the same halacha from the Kavachomer like we saw before? Mil said the Asiya Kavachomer Tarf Kas of Lakra. Because he holds that even though it could have been learned out from a Kavachomer, Torah goes out of Seder right apostle, like Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel, Haya Sher Hikriv Mai Avidle. We'll say, what does Rabbi Shmuel do? First, wide line Kuf Kimulam of days. What does he do with this phrase, Asher Hikriv? Prat L'tvul Yom U'mechusra Kippurim Va'onin. But it comes to exclude the case of Tvul Yom U'mechusra Kippurim Va'onin, to say just like these individuals can't eat, so too they don't get a portion in the hide. V'seifuk lei me lo yihia. Why doesn't he learn it out from the phrase lo yihia? Rabbi Shmuel l'tamei, Rabbi Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Rishon Rabbi Shmuel. Ne'mar ba'ola lo yihia. It says ba'ola, it shall be his. Ne'mar ba'asham lo yihia. It says ba'asham, it shall be his. Just like Rabbi was saying, by Asham, we know the bones of the Asham are permitted to the Kohen. We saw this last week. Kohen could do whatever he wants. He wants to make a bone cup, a bone plate. He can make whatever he wants out of those bones. Afkan atzmosa mutarin. So Rabbi was saying, Ola, the bones are mutar as well. And the Gemara just says, Mufni. It must be that this phrase of lo yihia, will say, is not used for any other drasha, and is therefore open for this drasha. If it were not opened, ikal mifrach, I could have said ma lo asham shekin b'saro mutar. I would have said asham is different than ola. Why? Because by asham the flesh itself, the meat of the animal, is permitted. That's why the bones are permitted. Therefore, again, ma lo asham shekin b'saro mutar lo yeh krayisir. It must be that the phrase lo yeh therefore is open, and therefore I can make the drasha or make the gzir shava between asham and ola. Just like Asham, the bones are mutter, so too by Ola, the bones are mutter as well. So we'll say, Halacha l'maisa, what do we take away from this sugya? So we're not finished with it. We're not finished with the hide sugya. There's still more. But for our purposes today, Kol Oroz Ramam Hilchos Maser Kawanas Parakeh Halacha Yutes. Kol Oroz Kachek Adashim. Lekohanim. We'll say all of the hides of Kodshei Kadashim Karbanos go to the Kohanim. Bein Bar Karbanos Sibor, Bein Bar Karbanos Yachid, Shene Amar, Or Ha'ula, Asher Hikriv. So we'll say, so this is actually, we just saw in the Gemara, it's based, even though the Pasuk by hides is by Ola, it uses this Lashon of Or Ha'ula, Asher Hikriv, which tells me that any Karbanos that the Kohen offers, the Kohen gets to keep the hide. As long as what? The carbon that is being offered is like an Ola. Just like an Ola's Kodesh Kadashim, so to what? Any Kodesh Kadashim Karbanos, the Kohen gets the hide. Aval Oros Kodshe Kalim Lebailim. Ultimately, again, but Kodshim Kalim, will say the hides, ultimately, again, go to the owners. One last statement. V'chol Ola Shalo Zacha Mizbeach Biv Sarah, Lo Zacha HaKohen Be'ora. Shenemar olas ish ola sha'osalish. And therefore, we'll say the Rambam also accepts the principle that this is only true if what? If the mizbeach gets the meat of the carbon. If the mizbeach gets the meat of the carbon, then the coin gets tied. We'll say, what does it mean if the mizbeach gets the meat of the carbon? What does that mean? The carbon is kosher. The carbon works. In other words, we'll say, now again, so to be clear, remember, the carbon could work even if it doesn't satisfy the obligation of the individual, like we saw in the case of an ola offered up shalo lishma. If an ola is offered up shalo lishma, it doesn't satisfy the individual's obligation, but what does it do? What does it do? It's quote-unquote an effective carbon. So as long as the carbon, so bottom line, coin gets the hides by kodshei kadoshim, as long as it is a valid sacrificial offering. Even if it does not serve to discharge the obligation of the owner, as long as it is a valid sacrificial offering, the coin will get the hide. Beautiful. So let's do the Mishnah. Kol akadoshim shir ben psul kodim l'shit. So now we're going to get a little bit more into the mechanics. Any carbon where there is a psul in the animal, a psul in the carbon, before the animal was, what's the right word? Flayed? Is that the right word, right? Flayed. Right, before the animal was flayed. So any time that the psul in the carbon took place before the hide was removed, ein orosein l'kohanim. So we'll say if that's the case, that the carbon became psul before the hide was removed, the kohen does not get the hide. La'acharef sheet, and Rosh is actually very interesting. What happens if, Rosh, you shechted the animal, you removed the hide, and a psul was discovered later on? Now we'll discuss what type of, because remember again, a different type of psul on both sides. It could be a psul that is internal to the animal. They discovered the animal was a trefa, or there could be some type of carbonic psul later on. So we'll discuss that. But if what happens if the psul was discovered after the animal was flayed, then orosin akaram, then in fact the kohen gets to keep the hide. Very interesting halacha. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim said, Miyamai lo ra'isi or shio tzeh beisas refa. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim said, I will say, I never saw a case. In all of my days, I never saw a case of a hide that was taken out to be destroyed. In other words, that's another way of saying is, I never saw a case of where the kohen got the hide and the hide was subsequently disqualified. So the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Akiva, Midvarav Lamadnu. Bosei, what do you see from here? You see from Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim's statement that Bosei, if you have a Bechor animal that was flayed, the animal then went ahead and, so the coin got the hide, then when they subsequently opened up the animal, it was found to be a trefa. Apparently, even in that kind of case, what's the halacha? The coin gets to keep the hide. Because Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim is saying that he never saw a case of where Kohanim got the hide and had to give it up. Now this case of a Bechor being recognized as Shefer, Bosei, must have happened. I don't know frequently, but definitely happened. Now Bosei, here's the interesting part about Trefa case. When they open up that Bechor, and it turns out that it was a Trefa, Bosei, so what does that mean? What does that tell you? That means that animal from the beginning was a trefa, which means that even the time that the Kohanim got the hide, they got the hide of a trefa animal. Yet what? Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim is saying, I never saw a case where they took the hide back from the Kohanim and then burnt it. So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva says, apparently you see from here that if you flay the Bechor, even if it's subsequently found to be a trefa, the Kohanim could still go ahead and keep the hide. The Chachamim say, "Ein elo ra'inu, ein oraya, ein lo ra'inu raya." So we'll say the Kohanim say, "Rechinis Kohanim." The fact, what you did see or what you didn't see, that's not how we develop halacha, right? The fact that you never saw hide being burned, maybe you were just living in good times, right? But says the Chachamim, Ela yetzei lebeis ha-sreifa. The Chamsi Rabbah say ultimately again, that where there is a case that the psul in the animal we know was there from the beginning, then what Rabbah say? You would take the hide back from the Kohanim and ultimately destroy. So Rabbah say, so now we'll see and we'll stop over here for today, but ultimately again, fascinating machlokas. So apparently again, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim and Rabbi Akiva seem to be saying that in the case of Bechor where you flayed it and then discover the psul afterwards, the kohen would still get to keep the hide. The Chum saying no, since when you find that the animal is a treifa, you know that that animal is pasul from the beginning, then halacha l'maaseh what? The hide has to be destroyed as well. We'll continue Yiras Hashem tomorrow.